Glory to God. You know, as I was sitting there, before service, as we were getting ready to worship, praise the Lord. I just heard on the inside of me, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, I thought about that old Christian song, I got the joy down in my heart. Praise the Lord. And I was just so thankful. And, of course, I was singing that in my spirit. Now I sang it for you. Praise the Lord. But we've got the joy. Hallelujah. You know, and as Christians, we so often, that was a close-up for the camera probably, right? as Christians, we so often, we can hear these things and we can read these things and we can say these things, but we don't believe them. And because we don't believe them is the reason we don't see them. See, because every time if we want what God has for us, we can only get there through faith. We can only get there by standing strong. Amen. There will be opposition against us because that's what the devil does. To think that there wouldn't be is foolishness. But see, people forget in the opposition, they forget who their God is. They forget who God has made them to be. They forget what God wants to do in their lives. Amen. And we see this so often in the body of Christ, and we see it's very evident why the body of Christ goes without. It's very evident why the body doesn't have victory, and it's because they forget about the Lord. I said they forget about the Lord. Because their mind's on their problems, their mind's on their stuff, their mind is on what they want their mind to be on. It's on everything but God. They forget their God. You say, well, that's not forgetting God. Yes, it is forgetting God. Because he said to keep your focus on me and don't take it off. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, either it is or it isn't. But if it isn't, then what are we doing? Yeah. Amen? If the joy of the Lord isn't our strength, if we can't walk in his joy, if this isn't for us, then why do we bother? Why do we give up? Why don't we just be those people that give up? We see that in the world, right? We see people can't make it. They don't know what to do. They can't. Why are God's redeemed? The Bible says we're redeemed from the curse of the law. So why does the redeemed of the Lord walk in the curse? If you've been redeemed from something, if I took something from you and you don't have it anymore, well, you know what I mean? If I came to your house with the police and we knocked on your door, or we came with the army or whatever you want to use, and we came to your door, we knocked on your door, and we said, we're going to take your couch out of here. You don't have your couch anymore, right? Doesn't belong to you. We take it. But see, that's what Christians are doing. They're not, they've been redeemed, but they're not taking that redemption upon themselves. You know what I'm saying? The devil comes saying, I want that redemption. You know, he doesn't literally say that. But he's coming saying, I'm after. What do you think the attack is? The attack is the devil after your blessing. And are you going to be the Christian that goes, here you go, devil? But see, that's what most Christians do. They say, there you go, devil, you have it. He said, he is our peace. The Bible says he is our peace. Why don't you have peace? Because you don't believe God. Because you don't trust God. So let's just trust God. It's just easier to trust God than it is. Well, we can trust the devil, but when you trust the devil, you get what the devil gives you. Actually, you don't get anything from the devil because he takes everything from you. People are blaming God for taking things from them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we know we serve a good God. We don't just say it. We're not just people that say it, but we are people that believe it. Amen? And if you don't, stick around for a while, you will. Praise the Lord. Because we won't let you leave without believing it. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. That's all free, no charge. That's not my message. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got the joy down in my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. I got the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. So deep on the inside of me, it fills me. Glory to God. It carries me through. It takes me to the other side. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Don't get me happy. Man, praise the Lord. I'm already there. Hallelujah. I'm happy. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight we're going to talk about something that goes along with this. I didn't plan it that way, but it's what's going to happen. Praise the Lord. The message tonight is called Be Fruitful. Hallelujah. Be fruitful. And we're going to touch on some subjects that are controversial in the body of Christ. But first thing I want to do is I want to throw out a little caveat, I guess is what you'd call it. I want you to understand a few things. What I'm talking about tonight is not what a lot of people would want to try to accuse me of. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to warn you about something. If you're religious-minded, you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you tonight. Praise the Lord. If you're freedom-minded, if you're Christ-minded, if you're Scripture-minded, You're going to love what I'm going to tell you. You might just dance, hallelujah. You might just jump out of your skin tonight, hallelujah. Because we're going to see some things that are truth, amen? And see, this is what I love. See, we don't try to, when the devil attacks the word, for the word, you know, the Bible says the devil comes for the word's sake, once the word has been planted. When he attacks for the word, praise the Lord. We don't back off and say, well, we're just going to believe that the word doesn't work then, or this part of the word wasn't for us, or whatever cliche garbage you can come up with in your religious head. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about you, but I'm just talking about people. You know, we're not going to just give it over to them. No, we stand on the word because the word is the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to believe what God has. Now, what God has said, amen? Now, what I'm going to be talking about tonight, to a degree, relates to prosperity, okay? But I'm going to say this, Carol. The reason I'm saying this is because I'm going to tell you ahead of time that the devil's going to come in and try to give you thoughts saying, hey, he's going to be preaching about prosperity. He's going to be trying to preach about money. That's not what I'm preaching about. I'm talking about being fruitful. And we're going to see in Scripture today that being fruitful is not just something that God has or God would like us to have. He's unwilling that we go without it. God insists that we are fruitful. Praise the Lord. Don't we remember that Scripture in John that says that the unfruitful vine is the one that gets trimmed off? That's the one that doesn't produce. Amen. And we're going to find out what's involved in that. But you know, what I want you to understand as we get into this, that this message about being fruitful and prosperity is about every area of our life. It would include finances, but it does not just focus on finances. It would include relationships, but it doesn't just focus on relationships. It covers every area of our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because God isn't a partial God, amen? He's a full God, hallelujah. He's a cup running over God. Have we ever heard that before? Amen, praise the Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah. Turn with me to Genesis 1:28. You know, when you want to talk about what God's will is, when you want to talk about what God's design is, when you want to figure out when you want to figure out anything, what do you, you know, you start at the beginning, amen? You know, when I was a kid, I loved building Legos, praise the Lord. When I was an adult, I still love building Legos. I still go to the Lego section sometimes. If I'm in Walmart and I'm near the toy section, I do stop and look at the Legos, amen? And I daydream about Legos that I can't have anymore. But you know, when you get those Legos, especially the big sets, and I always like building the sets, you know, I love going through the instructions and building them. But when you get a really big Lego set, you don't start at the last page, do you? Why? Because you won't understand the foundation of the whole set. It won't make any sense. You can look at the picture on the box, but there's things underneath that. Amen? How many of you know that, like this building, you have this building here, you know, and you see the drywall, the paint. Actually, what you see is the painted drywall. Amen? And so you see the painted drywall, but you understand that there's a structure behind this, right? And that structure is imperative to keeping the building up. Amen? There's a reason this roof doesn't fall down, and that's because this structure around us was built correctly. Amen? And even more so, the foundation, which was put in first, amen? The foundation was built correctly, and because of that, the building stands. The building lasts. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, the same thing is with any instruction manual. The same thing is with the Bible, with God's design. Praise the Lord. We know that Jesus was called the second Adam, and that would be an indication that if there was a need for a second Adam, that he was going to bring something back, or he was going to resemble the first Adam. Amen. And we understand through the word that one of the things that Jesus did is he redeems us, amen? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from the sin, amen? He's given us the ability to walk in things that we couldn't walk into before, amen? So many people just focus on salvation as just being something that gets you to heaven. And it's like such a small part of it. It's an important part, but it's a small part. Salvation is not just about going to heaven. Salvation is how we walk out our lives, amen? The Bible wouldn't talk about fruit if fruit wasn't important. But see, God said that this is going to be the process for all time. Amen? Praise the Lord. Have you found Genesis 1:28? Praise the Lord. If you don't know where that is, go to the beginning of your Bible, go 28 verses in, and you're there. Hallelujah. And it says here, then God blessed them, This is after he made male and female, amen? He says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is God's, this is right when he created man, male and female, he created them. He put us together, and God blessed the men. That's just a little throwback to my wife. No, he didn't just bless the men. He blessed all. Blessed them. Yeah. Amen. He blessed man and he blessed woman. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? Yeah. But you see, so often we will read over these scriptures and we forget this was God's intent. Yeah. He put us on the earth and the first thing he does is said, okay, I put these people together and now bless them. Yeah. Bless them. Yeah. What does bless mean? Most people only know bless from when someone sneezes. Bless you. What does it mean? What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean if God blesses us? Certainly, if you ask a lot of Christians what the blessing of God is, they have no idea. Why? Because, again, people think it's God that's giving and taking away. People think it's God that's a wrecking ball. People think it's God that's tearing them down, that's removing from their lives. How is that a blessing? If that's what blessing is, I don't want blessing. Amen? Is there anyone who wants that kind of blessing? Is there anyone who signed up today for some horrible rash blessing? Yeah, did you ever get a rash and you think, whoo, what a blessing? You know what I mean? This time of year, I don't know what it is with the bugs this year, but they really like me. They love me. I don't get bit and think, man, what a blessing. You know what I mean? But that's how some people perceive God. They perceive God as this one. Listen, God has given us a book that tells us who he is. What to expect from him. What to believe from him. And then he said, you can trust the book. You can trust your faith. You can trust my spirit, which I'm going to place on the inside of you. You can trust that. You can believe that. He's telling us. God, you know the God that gives and takes away? Yeah. He's the one that said all this, right? He's the one who said that he's going to give us all this stuff. And he's like, I'm going to surround you with angels, by the way. Psalm 91 tells us that angels will keep us so we don't dash our foot against a stone. Praise the Lord. He said, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. With long life I will satisfy you. Satisfy is not a word that we take out of context too often. If someone talks about being satisfied, it's usually not a bad thing, is it? Man, I was really satisfied. You ever eaten a good meal? Praise the Lord, and you kick back. You go, man, that really satisfied me. You know, Snickers? Yeah. Snickers satisfies. Amen? Just about all chocolate satisfies me, praise the Lord. But I never met somebody who got food poisoning, laid back, and said, man, I'm satisfied. Did you? See, God ain't using a different language. He's not using a different understanding. When God says bless, he means bless. When he says bless, he means the bless that you like being blessed with, too. He's not talking about some obscure thing that we can't understand. But why do Christians think that for some reason we just can't understand the Father? He wrote a book about himself. And he said, this is how I interact with you. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to make it plain. So plain that a child can read it and understand. Amen? Praise the Lord. A child knows what it means to be blessed. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. The first thing he did, God blessed them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So the first command, the first instruction he gives man after he blessed him, blessing him, if I bless my sons or my daughter, and I said, now I'm going to give you some instruction to go do something, it generally would undertake it to understand that I'm setting them on their course. Praise the Lord, and here's the stuff that's going to help you get there. Amen? We were a blessing to my kids because we raised them in the admonition of the Lord. Taught them how. My oldest son, he's walking into some things now that are the blessing of God. Hallelujah. But you know, we equipped him to walk in that blessing. And God equips us as well. But he says, be fruitful and multiply. He tells us, what's being fruitful and multiplying mean? It means to produce. And it means to increase. How else can you look at it? Be fruitful and multiply. Praise the Lord. Well, some people just say, well, that's just talking about having kids. Well, it's not just talking about having kids, because when we see throughout the Bible, whenever it talks about being fruitful, it's not just talking about child rearing, or it's talking about a multiple number of things. What God was saying to them is being fruitful and multiplying in your life. Amen? And how do we know that that's what he's talking about? Because the first instruction that God gave, the first things that God gave Adam to do was not have kids. Didn't he put him in a garden and he said, tend to it. And he told them that there was gold in the land, and he told us that there was the fruit of any kind of fruit that you can imagine on any tree, and you can eat of it as you will, as you want. You can just go sample it. You don't have to ask anybody. Just go eat. Just stay away from this one. But the rest of it, you can have as much as you want. He didn't put any limitations on it. The animals would come up to Adam. Adam could talk to the animals, and the animals would come up to him because the curse hadn't happened yet. You understand that? Praise the Lord. He wasn't naming the animals from a distance. God was bringing them before him. This is what God created us to be. Praise the Lord. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. And that's an important thing too. Fill the earth and subdue it. Subdue it means to take authority over it. See, this is a big, and we're not preaching about this tonight, but this is a big thing where Christians have laid down their authority. They don't have any idea what authority is, and so they go without. They don't realize the devil comes to attack. You use your authority. If you don't use your authority, he's going to attack you. People are praying to God to stop the attack, and they're so foolish because they don't realize that God gave you the authority in your mouth to thwart the devil's devices. Yeah, God isn't going to stop it. Why? Because he made us. He told us to subdue it. Amen? Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves. Praise the Lord. He told us to produce and increase, expand and take control. Praise the Lord. When you look up the word have dominion, it means to rule and reign. Praise the Lord. God designed us to rule and to reign. Do you know what that, a king is very sure of his place, isn't he? If you've ever seen a king or anything like that, they know who they are. They know where they are. They know it's their kingdom, and they don't question it. And in fact, if people come in, they have so much boldness because somebody comes in and tries to take that from them. They're like, don't you realize I'm the king? I'm the one who rules. I'm the one who reigns. What happened to Christians do that? He redeemed us from the curse. What was the curse? The curse is what Adam laid down. The curse is what Adam put us into because he laid down his authority. He didn't rule and reign like God told him to. Christians today still are not ruling and reigning. But we got a message here we got to get to. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, real quick, what I want you to do is flip over to Proverbs 10:22. Hallelujah. I love this scripture because it makes it plain. I'll make it plain on tablet. God said, which prophet did he tell that to? Make it plain on tablets, he said. Hallelujah. Yeah, he told one of the prophets, he said, make it plain on tablets. Make it simple for the people to understand. Right? Why do you suppose he said make it plain on tablets? Why do you think he made it simple? Because he wants it simple. He wants you to understand it, right? Listen, why would God write a book to tell us what to do and make it so hard to understand that we could never get there? No, he said, make it plain. What is it? Proverbs 10:22 says, look at this. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Yeah. Now, we're going to talk about some things here, amen? Because this upset a lot of people. Just the fact that I just said the word rich probably set something off on the inside of somebody. Wow. Praise the Lord. It does. Yeah. Why? Because people don't like to hear that. Yeah. They don't want to believe that. They don't like to hear the word rich. Although the Bible uses it over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. The word blessing here is interesting because the word blessing here is similar to the word, it actually is derived from the word blessed that came in Genesis 1:28. Amen? And I think the word is like barak or something like that. I'm not real big on Hebrew, so I don't know exactly how to. But it's slightly different in this one. In the first one, It's the action. So in Genesis 1:28, we see that word blessed is God bestowing. He blessed. This is the action of him blessing. Amen? Yeah. In Proverbs, what it is what was bestowed. It's that thing that was bestowed. And so we see in Genesis, he blessed them. In Proverbs, he said, this is what you got. You got the blessing of the Lord. And now he takes it a step further because he explains what the blessing of the Lord does. What does he say here? Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Now, some people say, they like to get real religious. They like to say, well, that makes people spiritually rich. Well, I'll argue that because I'll just bring up this point to you right now. There's no such thing as spiritually rich or spiritually poor. The Bible talks about spiritually alive and spiritually dead, but it doesn't talk about spiritually rich and poor. If you are either spiritual or you're not, the Bible says. You are either flesh-minded or you're spirit-minded. One of the two. You can't be both. So God is not, yes, we can have a measure of God in us, in a sense, but what I'm saying is that God isn't like a measuring out, just saying, well, I just want you to have a little bit of spirituality. No, he wants us just fully immersed in it. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That word rich, and this is so interesting. This is what literally, that when you look it up in the concordance, that word rich literally means to grow, to accumulate, become rich or wealthy, or to gain. Hallelujah. What does it mean? It's talking about a process, isn't it? He said, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. It makes one grow, accumulate. What does it make you grow and accumulate? Gold and silver, of course. That's all it makes you go. It's just piling up heaps and heaps of piles of Ben Franklin's and who are the other ones? Andrew Jackson's, hallelujah, and maybe even some Abraham Lincoln's. And we're just pile them up. That's what it means to grow and accumulate, right? No, it's not just talking about that. It's talking about all areas of our life. God doesn't look at our life and he says, well, I want you to have this, but I don't want you to be blessed here. I want you to be blessed on this, but not over here. And I want you blessed on Tuesday, but I don't want you blessed on Saturday. I want you blessed on Sunday, but not on Monday. Come on now. Now, what parent would say that to their child? What parent would go to their child and say, you know what? I want you happy most of the time, but not all the time. There's sometimes where I just, I look at my kids sometimes. I love my kids so much. So much. And sometimes I look at my kids and I just think, what can I take away from them on Thursday? Come on. You know, we've had several good Christmases in a row. Let's just not even give them Christmas this year. Let's just take it away. Well, foolish parents say that. Parents who don't love their kids say stuff like that. I look at my kids and I'm thinking, how can I get more into their life? The only time I get sad anymore is realizing things that I couldn't put in my kids' life. I have to believe God for it. That's a good parent. That's what a good parent does, by the way. You think God's a worse parent than I am? No, he's a much better parent than I am. Hallelujah. God wants us to grow. He wants us to accumulate. He said, fill the earth and subdue it. He said to fill the earth. He said to go out to produce and to increase. This is what God's direction for man was. How do we know this? Has anyone ever planted anything? Yeah. Right, you planted something, an asparagus, you planted a broccoli, you planted a cauliflower, you planted something at some point, right? A flower maybe. Were you surprised when flowers came? Were you surprised when the produce started coming? Why? No, because that's what it's supposed to do. Listen, God didn't create the earth to work this way over here and this way over here and not this way here and not this, you know what I mean? No, God gave us things that we can understand, that we can look at. And Jesus always pointed. The parables were always about pointing to those processes that God set in order and where people either did them or didn't do them and how they produced in their lives. This is what God has done for us. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to produce. I am not saying that God wants you sitting up in at the top of Trump Tower with a cigar in your mouth kicked back and have minions run. I didn't say that. And I'm not trying to lead to that. And I'm also not saying that if somebody has that, they're wrong, because I don't need to be the judge of that. Listen, just because somebody has something doesn't mean I'm going to judge it. And if you do, you're foolish. You'll never have anything because you just judge. But God doesn't want us sitting around in poverty, with nothing, never increasing, never accumulating, never growing. What good does that do? My God, if you had something in your garden that was limp, it was not growing, you would rip it out by the roots and you would throw it in the trash because it's worthless. I said it's worthless if it doesn't produce. Christians are worthless if they don't produce. God has made us to increase. He has made us to produce. And if we don't, we are being worthless. Because God has determined this from the beginning of time. It was the instruction He gave us. And then Jesus came back and He said, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to put my Spirit in you to ensure that you can do this. I'm not going to leave you to your own devices anymore. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there. I will not leave you orphans. I'm going to help you produce. Why do we build a church anywhere? It doesn't matter, just this church, any church. Why do we build a church? To produce. We want to produce Christians that are getting the word, that are feeding on the word, whose lives will change, who don't need to stay where they are. We don't have church so we can come together and have some kind of social club. I don't like people that much. I don't. I don't want to just go. Listen, it's not comfortable for me to go up to people I don't know and just start talking to them either. You know what I'm saying? I like the, you know, the people that I'm around. I can be fine with just them. I don't need more friends. I'm 41 years old, almost 42 years old. I don't need more friends. I don't care about having friends. I really don't. I have a great, wonderful wife. I love my family. Any time that I can spend with my family, I'll spend it. So if I got 10 extra minutes, I don't need to spend it with a friend. I got family. That's what I want. That's what I'm after. Amen. Praise the Lord. So why do we do that? Because it's the direction of God. He wants us to produce. He doesn't plant churches for the sake of saying, well, maybe it just wasn't meant to grow. No, it was meant to grow. Excuse me. You would never plant something and hope that it doesn't grow. You would never build something and hope it's not effective. You know, the last time I put on a roof, if I found out it leaked after, I don't know if it did. I don't think it did. But the last time I did a roof, you know, one of the things that you wait for is it going to leak? You know, when you wire something, I also do, I've wired a lot of things, buildings and stuff like that. And when you wire something and you get it all figured out and you spend all this time mapping it out and laying it out and you put the right screws and you do all the right bends and all the tape and all the stuff you do for it, and then you put it back in the wall, and then you go to back to the breaker box, and it's always, there's that moment of truth, and you're like, click, and then you run back upstairs or wherever you're at, praise the Lord, and you go to the light switch, and you're like, click, and the lights come on. Hallelujah, you did a good job, right? But you never do that and go, click, the lights don't come on, perfect, I did just what I wanted to do. It's foolishness. Why do we think God made us like that? God made us to produce. I can't even get through scripture here. Praise the Lord. The life of a child of God should be marked by good things. And if it isn't, it's not because God did not give us the ability to. There is something that's hindering it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Glory to God. He's made us to produce. You know, that word produce, to increase, to accumulate. What if you looked at it? What if you started looking at life through those eyes? You know, if you spend time before the Lord and you say, okay, this is, I believe, is the direction of God. So now we should expect a certain level of good things to happen there. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. People come to me and they're like, you know, I've had people pray for all kinds of things. People come to you. I've had people, I had one person in my other church ask me to pray about a job. So we did. We got together and we prayed about a job. And that person got the job. Hallelujah. They got the job. It was a blessing. And they just talked about how happy they were. And I was like, praise the Lord. And they just kind of like, yeah, you know. But then they got, you know, they got other stuff happened. And they didn't like this and they didn't like that. And so they ended up leaving, you know. And they walked away from they still had the job, but they walked away from the one who gave them the job. Yeah. Yeah. I said, what, just because they didn't go to your church anymore that they didn't? No, because that's where God helped them. Right. You know, people do that all the time. God's helping people in a place, or God wants to help somebody in a place, and they stop showing up and they stop getting their help. Yeah. Yeah. That's just the way it is. I did that. That's the way I lived my life until I got planted in the house of the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. If there's not increase, if there's not producing, then it's worthless. I'm going to tell you this, if a church isn't changing the lives of people, if it's not teaching people how to change their lives and putting the word in them, and there's actually, you're actually seeing fruit, if that's not happening, it's a worthless church. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You might as well stay home and watch American Idol or something because you're going to get just as much out of it. Yeah. We don't have church for the purpose. Do you know how many people I've met over the years who know that where they're at, they are not getting fed? They know they're not getting fed, and yet they stay there? For what? Why? Do you really need to waste? Do you have so much time that you just need to waste your Sunday morning or Saturday night or whatever? I mean, seriously. Like, what do people think? You know what it is? It's because they think that going to church is a religious duty, and by going to church, they've done something to please God, but they don't realize that church was created for them in the first place, and it has nothing to do with blessing God. God isn't blessed when you go to church. He's blessed when you go to church, learn something, take it out in the world, and change the lives of somebody else, or change your own life. That's when God's blessed. That's when He says, good job. Going to church is like, what? God's like, yeah, duh. For some reason, Christians don't get this. I'm just telling you, by and large, I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm just saying, by and large, Christians don't get this. How do we know? I talk to people about, some people are it doesn't even, if somebody didn't come to church for 3 months, people wouldn't think anything of it. I'm thinking, like, those people are going through hell right now. Because they're not getting fed. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us blessed. He wants us full. But we decide whether or not we'll walk in that. See, this is why there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of people that will not like our church. And they won't like it because we do put some of the responsibility back on people. Because guess what? God put some of the responsibility back on people. Yeah. Salvation only comes if you choose. Why would we think anything else happens without us choosing? It doesn't. Victory only happens when we choose. When we choose to win, praise the Lord. When we choose to walk in the Word and to do what it says, that's when it happens. That's when it happens. It doesn't happen any other way. I'm not going to fluff it up because I don't want you. I want you to know the truth. If you don't like it and leave, I can't help that. I can't go out and chase you down. I'm not going to. But the truth of the matter is you can only get what you want from God if you decide to put your foot forward and do the things that He said you need to do to obtain that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's start in verse 6 there. 1 Corinthians 2:6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For our glory. For our glory. Whenever God talks about being glorified, it's a huge thing. It's like you get pictures of angels singing and bright flashing lights from heaven, glory to God, and trumpets blasting, glory to God. You get the idea of a big party going on. And He ordained this stuff for our glory. I said, for our glory. God wants us full of joy. He wants us producing fruit. Do you know that joy is a fruit? Yeah, absolutely. Glory to God. Try the fruits of the Spirit, found in Galatians 5. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So where were we? Oh, yeah. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they did, because they didn't know. People still do it. People still throw Jesus up on that cross all the time. Yeah, they still crucify Him all the time. You will preach the word and people will hate you for it. Your own brothers and sisters in the faith will hate you for preaching the word. It will happen. The Bible says it will happen. It will happen. I've seen it happen. They will hate you. They will despise you because you preach the word. Other pastors will not like you because you preach the word. They'll talk bad about you to their congregation members. Oh, don't go to that church. They don't believe like we believe. We believe the word. There's a lot of people that say they believe the word, really don't. How do I know that? Because they speak things opposite of what the word says. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, what's it say here? Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Does that sound, let me just ask you, just off the surface? You know, we don't want to read too much into this. I don't want to get a concordance out. I don't want to pull the teacher up here, praise the Lord. But just off the top of your head, when you read that, Does that sound like he's prepared evil and bad things for you? Does that sound like eye is not seen, ear is not heard? Do we think of this in the context of, let's see, like God doesn't want, like that's not a good thing? Come on, seriously, what do people think? They think the opposite. It's not entered in it, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I want to say something about this. People who don't learn to listen to the Spirit are people that reject this kind of teaching. People who are dried up church where they don't preach the word, they just rather have their tradition, they want to have their three hymns and a poem and their 10-minute sermon, and then they go about their day, and that's they go through their religious duties, but they don't ever really preach the word. You know what I'm saying? We were talking about this. You drive around and you see vacation Bible schools and stuff. I'm not against that. I'm not saying it's wrong. Those churches that have it, praise the Lord for it. They might be great churches. I don't know. I'm not judging them for that. What I am saying is that you notice the same sign at a lot of different churches. Doesn't matter what kind of name is on the church, but you notice the same sign. It's called "This is the program," and you see the banner, and the banner is the same banner that you saw at the church down the road. And my wife and I were just talking about this, and I was like, it's just a package they buy. You can do that. Like, so it's just a package you buy, and you can do that with sermons too. You can just go buy a package of sermons, and they'll tell you what to preach and say these things, and these are the scriptures you use, and all you got to do is this and that, and that's what you get. But, we're not a pre-planned, canned sermon church.
Right, right.
Amen? I preached, what was it, last week? I preached four different services. And somebody even asked me, praise the Lord, another person in ministry asked me, they're like, do you preach the same message each time? I'm like, no, I don't think I've ever preached the same message twice ever. Because I seek the Lord. You seek the Lord, he'll give you what to preach. Yeah. Amen? But see, that comes with being spiritual. If you're spiritual, you don't need canned sermons because God will always give you something to preach. I said he'll always give you something to preach. You don't believe me, just try me someday. Just try me. Meet me at the coffee shop someday and just ask me a question. Oh, you'll get a sermon. I'll give you a scripture and everything. Things will pour out of me that I wasn't even planning for. Why? Because I'm a spiritual person. You say, well, you're thinking pretty highly of yourself. No, it's not that at all. I just know the fruit, amen, comes out of it, amen? Yeah, because when I didn't live spiritually, I would live like a dummy and all these horrible things happened. When I started living spiritually, I stopped living like a dummy and all these horrible things stopped happening, amen? I'm not saying that I don't ever have opposition. Of course I do. But what I'm saying is at least now I have victory and I didn't before. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And honestly, I've gotten to a point. Really, it didn't take me too long, just only 4 years. But I got to the point where I don't really care. I don't care what people think. I'm not here for or there or anywhere for people to think anything of me. I am there to preach the word. And if people receive it, they receive it and they'll be blessed. And if they don't and they won't be. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, such arrogance. Well, praise the Lord, if that's what you want to call it. If you want to see arrogance, look at what the Apostle Paul, they taught us how to do this. And that's the same stuff that they did. Jesus told everybody to leave him. He said, yeah, I don't care. Praise the Lord. I'm not telling people to leave me. I don't want people to leave me. I want people to show up. Amen. I want people to be blessed. What I'm saying is I don't care about all the stuff that has to look like a certain thing because I don't care about any of that. I want the truth so I can help people. That's what we try to do. That's what we endeavor to do. That's what our lives are built around. It isn't built around having a program. It's built around actually changing people's lives. Glory to God. But that's why in our church, in 4 years, we have seen people healed of cancer. We have seen people set free from addictions. We have seen marriages restored. Hallelujah. We have seen marriages happen. Hallelujah. We have seen things that people thought never would happen. We've seen people walk into jobs that they never thought that they would even be able to. But because they learned how to be faithful and they got taught the word and their lives actually started to change. See, because wherever the word is preached and people receive it, the lives will change. It's a fruit from it. Yeah. Amen? It's no different than in August if you find an apple tree that's got apples all over it. You're not surprised by that. In fact, we don't even look at it. But we should look at it. Our lives should be the same thing. Except most people, if they have a little bit of fruit in their lives, most Christians are so stinking surprised, they don't even know what to do with it. Yeah, they don't know what to do with it. They don't realize that God wants to prune them so they can produce more. But they're too stuck in their head because, you know, God, religion always taught me that God, well, he wants you poor. Jesus was poor. God wants you poor. All this stuff is lies. It's not scriptural. You can't back it up with scripture. But that's exactly where people go to. They're like, oh, Jesus wanted you without. God wants you sick. Show me in the Bible one place where God made a faithful person sick. A faithful person that he had covenant with. Show me one place. Some people try to go to Job, but he didn't have covenant with God. He didn't know God. He just was as good as he could be. You understand, without covenant, there's nothing with God. The Jews, the reason they were blessed is because they had covenant with God. The reason we're blessed is because the Jews gave up their covenant and he opened the door for all of us to be blessed. You understand, covenant is how God blesses people. Well, praise the Lord. That's why marriage, by the way, marriages don't, when they don't work, that's why they don't work, is because somebody stops walking in covenant. One, two, or one or the other, or both. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But God restores. He restores for the faithful. Amen? Where was I? Do we know? Hallelujah. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have, look at this. So no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God, right? Now, we have received. We have received. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. That, there's a reason that we've received it. Him, amen? Yeah. That we may know the things, everybody say things, that have been freely given to us. Have been. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. But he put his spirit on the inside of us so that we may know. We may know. Christians don't know. They don't know. What does God have for me? I don't know. What does God want for me? I don't know. I suppose this is just my lot in life. This is what God must want for me. You're not following the Spirit. You're following your flesh. Or somebody else's flesh. That we may know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But look at this. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay? Praise the Lord. What we have to understand here is that the Word of God is Spirit. We're told that the Word is Spirit. Yeah. Amen? So we know that the Word of God is spiritual. God has given us the Holy Spirit so we can discern what's spiritual and what's not spiritual. The very basic things that we should understand is that the Word is Spirit. Yeah. The Word is spiritual. And so if the Word says that we have it, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what Aunt Sally or Aunt Susie or Uncle Bob told you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what the Word says. It doesn't matter what Pastor Jeff says. What matters is what the Word says. It doesn't matter what Pastor down the street says. It matters what the Word says. It doesn't matter what the Pope says. It matters what the Word says. Amen? This is why Christians fail, because they start following people and not the Word. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have, yes, we are supposed to have a pastor. If you don't have a pastor, you're lost. The Bible says you're like sheep, having no shepherd. You're scattered and faint. Amen? That's the way your life will be. Praise the Lord. There are people that should be here right now that aren't here right now. They're scattered and faint. How do I know? Look at their lives. Because they would, you know, sometimes it's, well, you know, sometimes it's this reason or it's that reason. It's never a good reason. It's never a good read. It just isn't. I learned that a long time. I am not trying to come down on people, but I'm trying to help people. Yeah. But one thing I've noticed about this town is that people can tend to be a little squirrely here. Yeah. I'm not saying as an insult. I'm saying that when you jump from place to place to place and you are never grounded, that is not faithfulness. That's bed hopping. Yeah, absolutely. How are we? God is a God of loyalty and faithfulness, and yet Christians think that they can hop here and hop there and be blessed. How is God ever going to bless you if you're doing the very thing that he said not to do? Yes, we have to be grounded. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, those are the ones that flourish. Meaning, the ones who aren't planted are not the ones that flourish. What happens to a plant when you take it out of its pot and you put it in a new pot? Even if you put good fertilizer, good dirt, they suffer. And if you keep doing that, if I just took this tree, which isn't real, by the way, but if it was, and I just kept replanting it, eventually the tree's going to die. Now, what you have to do when you plant something is you plant it. If you got to give it a bigger pot so it can grow, you put it in that pot and you let it get rooted and you let it grow for a little while. You let it flourish there. Amen? It takes a little bit. And then after some time, it will grow up and it'll be bigger. And you will know when they say, sometimes they'll go, plants will go into shock when you first change their pots. They won't do anything. And all you did is you moved the whole dirt container. You didn't even touch the roots. But you just took all the dirt out of there. You put it in, packed some more dirt around. That's all you did. You didn't touch it. But somehow the plant knows. People are the same way. When people are uprooted and they're placed here, and they're uprooted and placed here, and they're uprooted and placed here, they go to a different church every service. There's your problem. There's your problem. Because you're heaping up, the Bible says they heap up teachers. That's what it says, and it was at 1st or 2nd Timothy. It says that they heap up teachers because they have itching ears, because they want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear, and then that's why they suffer. But they don't even know, most of the time, don't even really realize the folly. What's that? 2 Timothy 4:3. Praise the Lord. You understand, see, people are meant to be planted in the house of the Lord. Or the Bible wouldn't have said, be planted in the house of the Lord. How can a tree, we have a little lemon tree at home. And we have this other kind of lime orange tree or something that we got somewhere. You know, over the winter I got kind of bored and I stopped watering it. You know, and it started losing its leaves, and I thought, man, it's not so good. And then so I'd water it once in a while, and then I got to water it. I was trying to give a little more attention to it. It lost all its leaves, but all of a sudden I saw a little green. Just was about to throw it away. I saw little leaves starting to come out, and I'm like, oh, praise the Lord, it's not dead yet. Yeah. And so I got it out in the sun, and I got it, you know, and this time of year we have it outside. And they're growing leaves, and it's flourishing, you know what I mean? But I'm going to tell you something. We hindered our fruit production on that tree. Now, we weren't going to probably get anything right now anyways. But what we would have gotten in a few years, we're probably not going to get in a few years. It's going to take a few extra years because we hindered it by not taking care of it. Amen? People are the same way. If people aren't, praise the Lord, if they're not taking care of the things that God has given them to take care of, if they're not doing the things God has said, if they're not given the nutrients, if they're not watering, if they're not growing. Amen? You understand, you know, sometimes God sent ministers around, but he never sent people around. No. Wow. You don't see that in Scripture, do you? No. Yeah, Timothy went here and did this, and Titus went here and did this, and then Paul would go visit them all. But you notice he went and visited people where they were at. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us full. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, so we read through those. All right, 2 Timothy 3:5 in the Amplified. I want to read this to you. It says, "For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it." They deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. They hold a form of piety. Haven't you seen this? The people they wear a cross necklace. I got a Jesus fish bumper sticker. Hallelujah. I got a shirt that says God works on Saturdays too. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? We have all kinds of things out there. They have a form of true religion. They look like it. They go to church. Hey, they have their nice Sunday outfit. They go there. They don't miss a service. But they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. See, the thing about following God is there's supposed to be power with the power with God. When you follow God, there's life-changing power attached to it. There's fruit-producing power. We have been made to be fruit producers. If we don't produce, we aren't doing what God has intended us to do. Amen. John 15, go ahead and turn with me there. Praise the Lord. John 15. God wants us blessed. That's why he gave us church. That's why he gave us pastors. Because he wants us blessed. People who will feed us with the word, feed us with the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is so good. John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears a little bit of fruit. They'll get through. They might make it to the sweet by and by. No, it says he who abides in him and him in us bears much fruit. There's much fruit to be had. God wants us to bear much fruit. We're getting to something here. Without me, for without me, you can do nothing. Praise the Lord. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. There are all kinds of people that think that they are doing the will of God. They think they are doing the work of God, but they are lost. And how do you know that they're lost? Because they are not bearing fruit. People are not getting saved. People are not getting helped. People are not increasing. People are going from paycheck to paycheck if they even do that. All these things God cares about. How do we know about it? Because God gave us a way to increase. We read that every single week when we preach about tithe, when we give our before we take up tithes and offerings. You know, there's people, there's whole ministries basically that are out there to try to debunk tithing. But I've said it before, I'll say it again. I've watched family after family flourish because they tithe. Yeah, I watched families that all of a sudden they got increased jobs, making twice as much. Why? Because God is faithful to his word. People have to believe it. My job is not to make you believe it. My job is to try to convince you, but if you don't want to listen, that's not my job to chase you down and say, hey, listen, you're not listening. Praise the Lord. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Why does he cast out as a branch and withered? Because he's not producing fruit. He just said, if you abide in me, you produce fruit. If you don't abide in me, you don't produce fruit. If you don't produce fruit, if you're not abiding in me, you get cast out. Amen? Praise the Lord. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Why do they do that? Because they are worthless. If you are not producing fruit, you are a worthless Christian. Listen, don't get mad at me. Don't get depressed. Don't go to that place that the devil always tries to take you to. I am not saying that you are worthless, no good, and you'll never do anything. I'm not that kind of mean. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that you have a choice whether or not you're going to produce. If you are being worthless, you have an ability to change your worthlessness to being non-worthless. And then you can be worthful. Hallelujah. Isn't there somebody in here that wants to be worth something? Is there any, do you ever feel like, oh, I wish I was worth something? You know, one of the things, if you think of yourself as worthless, there's one of two things. Either you are because you're not doing what you're taught, or you are because the devil keeps telling you are and you keep listening to him. But either way, you can get out of it just by doing the word, by abiding in Jesus, by doing the things he said. It doesn't always happen overnight. Fruit doesn't always happen overnight. When was the last time you planted a seed and then got the produce the next day? You know what I mean? For years, my son and I were out in California and down in Southern California there, they have you grow things in the harshest environments because of the sun, and the sun produces great, great things in them. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? The sun produces great things in fruit, praise the Lord. Produces lots of fruit. Kind of a good analogy, I think, anyways. But at any rate, so we're out there and they plant they plant these trees all over these mountains, and they plant them in the weirdest spots. I mean, places where it's hard to get to the fruit. But they plant it because of the season, because they know where it grows best. That's another one we could preach on, but I'm not going to. But at any rate, you know, they don't get something the first year they plant them. They start off with little plantings, but they water them and they care for them and they persevere with them and they have patience and long suffering and they wait for them to produce. See, if you've been following, if you've been doing everything you know to do and you've been after God and you haven't seen the produce yet, that doesn't mean you're worthless. It means you got to hold on a little bit, because everything in its season produces. In its season. You don't get orange whenever you want. You get them in orange season. I don't know when that season is. You know, there's another thing. There's this guy I like to go see out there. His name's Charlie. He has a little organic fruit farm. Praise the Lord. I love Charlie. Try to take my son there, but he wasn't there this time. But we go out there and always get all these, and depending on what time of year I'm there, I get different kinds of stuff. And I always like it, and I try to remember, because I always want to be there at a certain time of year, but I don't usually decide when I go, because I'm not there on vacation or anything. It's not like I'm out there just partying. But but when I'm there, I go see what Charlie has, and I'm always excited when he has the things that I really like. But I know that they only produce them in certain seasons. There's certain seasons you just can't get them. Amen? God, so we have to understand that about ourselves. Yes, if we're doing everything we know to do, then we will produce fruit. It will happen. Because if the tree's good, the fruit will be good. It's just the way that it is. And so you got to be patient, wait for it to come out. So if you're a Christian who hasn't quite got there yet, or you've just seen a little trickle, believe me, it's coming. But you got to believe me that it's coming. Amen? Hallelujah. You got to be willing to go with it. But you're not going to do that if somebody's always telling you that, you know, well, God just wants you to, you know, not have this. So praise the Lord. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, see how important the word is? If the word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Oh my God, did he say that in church? Jesus said that in church. He told me to say that in church. Wrote it in here so it can be read in church. And yet still people go to God and they pray like, Lord, if it be your will. Why don't you find out what the will of God is and pray that way? Because he said whatever Jesus said in Mark 11:23, he said that you will have what you say and what you believe. So if you believe and say the wrong things, you will have that. He said that. But he also said that if you believe and say good things, you'll have those things as well. Amen. But right here he says, if you abide, I don't care if you don't like the prosperity message. I don't care. Listen, I mean, praise the Lord. We got some, a ways of getting this out there. If you're hearing this message 10 weeks from now because you tuned into our website and you get mad because I was preaching about God saying that you can have what you say, and that you, I don't care. The Bible says that. You don't have to like it. It isn't going to change my life at all. Why? Because I'm going to have what I say too. Amen? And I'm going to keep speaking good things. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. It shall be done for you. What does the Bible say? How can you take this any other way? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. But see, there's a whole important part here that people skip over. You have to abide in him and he has to abide in you. And that looks like something. That doesn't look like the Christian that's sitting on the bar stool on Saturday night. That's not what it looks like. That's not abiding in God. It doesn't look like the one who's out there fornicating. That's not abiding in God. Hallelujah. It doesn't look like the one who's constantly skipping church and always out doing, you know, whatever they want to do and jump church hopping, bed hopping. That's not the one who's Jesus is abiding in them. It's not the one who's preaching, praise the Lord. It's not the ones who have no respect for the house of God. That we can make it like a dance hall. Let's make it look like a nightclub, God, for God's sakes. Come on. That's not Jesus. Jesus was excellent. Yeah. He wasn't falling apart at the seams. Right. Listen, it doesn't mean you have to come into church and you have to be wearing a suit. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I mean, we have to start having respect for the house of God. We have to start realizing that God intended good things to happen in the place where people congregate. And if you knew that Jesus was coming over to your household and you wouldn't clean up, there's something wrong with you. Why? Because Jesus don't like it when it's all nasty. We know that through the Bible. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Well, see, this is why, you know, this is why we got to just have my wife preach, because she's nicer. You know, but no, she preaches the truth too. But you know what I'm saying? That we have to look at things correctly. Because if we don't look at things correctly, we won't have things correctly. Jesus abiding on us is not just saying, I love Jesus and I got a tattoo of some Hebrew on my arm. Or I got a tattoo of Jesus, well, you know, praying hands or something like that. Or I got angel wings tattooed on my back. None of that makes you Jesus abiding in you. You understand? This is the way that people look at the church world today. They're like, well, if I'm religious, I did that too. I've got tattoos on my body. There are different symbols of Christianity. And I did them when I was backslidden. Yeah. Because, you know, I don't want to give up my faith. I don't want to forget about my faith, but I couldn't live right. I was living like the devil, and I was having what the devil had. But, you know, I got to profess my Christianity. Because you know how important that is when you live like the devil. Got to go out and make everybody know how just God wants you free. Yeah, God wants you free, but he didn't say he wants you free so you can go live like a moron. He wants us free so we can live for him and produce much fruit. He wants us to produce much fruit. God demands that we produce. Actually, if you read these scriptures accurately, we see. Well, let me finish because I got to finish there. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. By this, verse 8. By this. By what? By you getting what you desire. By you producing much fruit because you lived in him. Not being a covetous jerk face. You know what I mean? Not going around saying, oh, I just want more for me, more for me, more for me. I want million-dollar houses and I want million-dollar cars. That's not what it's talking about, and that's not what I'm talking about. That is not the blessing of the Lord. That is people being covetous. He said, abide in him. God doesn't mind you having stuff. If you're abiding in him, he will bless you so much you'll have things you never thought you would have. Amen. But that's because your focus isn't on that stuff. It's on him. Right. Amen? Amen? But look what he says here. By this... By what? By you getting what you desire, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. God gets the glory when we actually bear godly fruit. So why do you think then that the devil is trying to stop us from producing fruit? He's working in churches, by and large, to get Christians to stop producing fruit. Yeah, because if some Christian has a lot, all of a sudden all these other Christians are right there to say, well, no Christian should have that. Who are you to decide? And I'm going to talk about a lot. Let me talk about a lot here since we're talking about a lot real quick. I know we got to finish up. But we're talking about a lot. Why don't we talk about that? What's a lot? What's a lot? Most of this world, this entire country is like in the top, like very small percentage of the entire world. Most of this world does not have 3 full meals a day. So you think a lot is somebody having a yacht, because that's a lot to you. But if you look at it in context of the entire human population, if you just live in this country, you have more than most of the world does. So they're looking at you like you have a yacht. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where is the line? Is it a $10,000 house? Is that what God is okay with? Is it a $50,000 house? Is it a $200,000 house? Where's the line with God? You understand, the Bible says that he's made mansions in heaven, so I don't think that God is worried about your house so much, is he? He's worried about what God is concerned with is your heart and your covetousness. If you covet things, if you are just looking at all, and listen, just because somebody does not have something doesn't mean they don't covet. People who actually, and I learned this because this is where I was, that when I had nothing, I coveted more than Donald Trump did. I'm not saying he coveted, you know, I'm just saying, right, just using rich, first rich person pops in my head. Bill Gates or whoever, you know what I mean? Well, who needs a $10 million house? Who needs a $110 million house? Nobody needs it, but who needs a $50,000 house? You don't need it, right? You can get by with a tent. Praise the Lord. Indians lived here and they had skins wrapped around poles and stuff like that, or little longhouses or whatever they lived in. But I'm going to tell you, it don't look like most of our houses. The worst of our houses were nicer than the best of theirs. So what do you need to live in? You see, this is what the problem is because people they try to look at God and judge what people should do based on what their experience is. And that is why people always fail. That's where people fail. Because they're trying to judge God based on their experience. You can't judge God based on your experience. You can only judge God by the Word. And if you don't judge God by the Word, you will never walk in what God has for you. God has made us to be fruit producers. And people are judging God based on what they've experienced, and that's why they don't produce fruit. Amen. There are all kinds of fruit, isn't there? You know, I there's tons of different kinds of citrus fruit. They all start from basic 3. There was 3 that they crossbred to get all those citrus fruit. Lemons and limes and oranges and, clementines and grapefruits and what are those? Pomelos. Oh, glory to God, pomelos and blood oranges and all these different things. But they all came from 3 basic fruit. But there's tons of them, isn't there? We decide what kind of fruit and how much. Yeah. We decide. We are the ones who decide what kind of fruit and how much. It's not God. He said, I've made you to produce fruit. A tree that doesn't produce is a tree God says is worthless. But if you are a good tree, then you can produce fruit and lots of it. And you can produce fruit that is good to the taste. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. And we're going to close with this, Galatians 6:7. What does Galatians 6:7 say? I know you wanted to know. Amen? Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You're not going to make fun. You're not going to mock God. For whatever, everybody say whatever. A person sows, it says man, but we know that that means man or woman, amen. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you sow oranges, you get oranges. If you sow lemons, you get lemons. If you sow poo, well, poo doesn't produce much. Well, it does, it's smelly, amen. Whatever a man sows, that he reaps. If you go around, if you're constantly tearing down people because they have something, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap that nothing. Why? Because you're trying to remove it from someone else. This is why everything is, you can see the devil working in the details of this country because he's just trying to remove from people. He just doesn't want people blessed. This whole country was blessed by God, the hand of the Lord, in the direction of God. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. God is good. He wants us to produce fruit. I hope you believe it. If you don't, well, praise the Lord, we're going to keep producing it, and you're going to be mad at us. But we love you. We love you anyways. We're here for you. We want you to see the truth of the word because God wants to take us somewhere. Amen?